And you have your programs before you, and we're going to just flow right through the program this evening. But I do have an announcement that's a little bit sad, and we want you to pray for Marilyn Cully. Her mom died, and the funeral will be on Thursday, December the 27th, at the McDougal Brown Funeral Home, Kingston Road in St. Clair. And the visiting times will be from 1 to 3 o'clock on Thursday. Keep Marilyn in your prayers during this Christmas time. It's a very difficult time to lose someone. And it came to our attention that in our church family, there have been about 17 people that have gone to be with the Lord, and there'll be empty chairs around Christmas, but we know that they're feasting at a banquet table that is far greater than we could ever imagine. All right, let's begin by singing 259, Angels from the Realms of Glory. And we'll stand as we sing, please. Remain standing for prayer, and I'm going to ask Pastor Holmes to pray for us at this time.
Our Heavenly Father, as we have gathered together on this Christmas Eve, we come with thanksgiving that we can worship, and we come praying that the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, would be the one who would be center in our thinking, would be the marrow of our singing, and cause us to have joy in our hearts. We pray for each one who is here and for the many who would like to be here and cannot. May the Lord Jesus be honored tonight as we gather together. In his name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until after she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Our Lord and Savior came to a humble birth in the manger, and we're going to sing number 261, Away in a Manger. Together now.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no
upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
A few weeks ago, we had a banquet downstairs, and we had some fun singing sort of a funny carol called The 12 Days of Christmas, little knowing that there was some significance to that particular carol, which seems so frivolous. But let me read what we discovered about that particular song. There is one Christmas carol that has always baffled me. What in the world do leaping lords, French hens, swimming swans, and especially the partridge, who won't come down out of the pear tree, have to do with Christmas? From 1558 until 1829, Roman Catholics in England were not permitted to practice their faith openly. Someone during that era wrote this carol as a catechism song for young Catholics. It has two levels of meaning, the surface meaning plus a hidden meaning known only to the members of their church. Each element in the carol has a code word for a religious reality which the children could remember. Who knew? The partridge in the pear tree was Jesus Christ. Two turtle doves were the Old and New Testaments. Three French hens stood for faith, hope, and love. The four calling birds were the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five golden rings recalled the Torah, or Law, the first five books of the Old Testament. The six geese a-laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming represented the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. The eight maids a-milking were the eight Beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10 lords a-leaping were the 10 commandments. The 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. The 12 drummers drumming symbolized the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. So there is your history for today. This knowledge was shared with me, and I found it interesting and enlightening. And now I know how that strange song became a Christmas carol. Let us turn in our hymn books to 278. Angels, we have heard on high, and we're going to stand as we sing.
Thank you.
may be seated.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Would you please turn in your hymn books to the First Noel, 265. We'll remain seated as we sing.
The first Noel, the angel did say,
the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular. Please wipe away that tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music cannot compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you of the joy their voices bring. for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart. But I'm not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you near. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift, more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, as my Father said to do, for I can't count the blessings of the love He has for you. So have a Merry Christmas, and wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the storm.
And glory. sense, at Christmas time, we all become children. And tonight, Pastor Holmes is going to speak to the children, but he speaks to our hearts as well.
Thank you, Lloyd. I think the children are, many of them aren't here tonight, but we're all going to be children tonight. And you're going to be the happy gang. So I'm going to sit here instead of having you all come to the platform. But before I tell the story, I would like to say Merry Christmas to everyone, and thank you for being here. And as I looked about our family this evening, I recognized we have some visitors. And we're delighted that you'd come and share this Christmas Eve with us. And you're very welcome, and so welcome that we just trust it will be a very special part of your Christmas to be with us here in Markham Missionary Church tonight. A lot of our people can't be here, and we miss them when they're not here. But you're here, and we're here, and boys and girls are here, and I'm thankful that the lights are low, because I want to think of you as all being little boys and girls. And sometimes when the lights are high, there's too much of our gray hair that shows, and we don't look like little boys and girls. Before I share the story I have with you this morning, or this evening, I'd like to share something of what happened today. I was with a friend of mine today, and he's 19 years old. His name is John Trey. John Trey had a diving accident in Lake Huron 2.5 years ago, and he has been a quadriplegic since that time, and he functions in a wheelchair, and he's one of the happiest, finest young men I've ever known. And I'm glad that I'm considered to be one of his good friends. And we like to spend time together, and today we had arranged to have lunch downtown at the corner of, or near the corner of Avenue Road and Bloor Street. And it was busy down there. Busy, everyone doing the last minute shopping and wondering what they were going to get at the last minute. But we went to a restaurant, and the restaurant was upstairs, so we went up on an old elevator. I really didn't think there would be an elevator that would be that. It wasn't very much better than the one we have in the church, and the one in the church is quite adequate. But this one in a commercial building wasn't very good. So we went up individually to the place where we were going to have lunch. He went first, and then I went up after and met him, and we had our lunch together. It was an interesting time, and we always enjoy being together. And as we were talking upstairs about the goodness of God to us, and Christmas time, and all of the blessings that God gives us at Christmas, John said to me, "Bob," he calls me Bob, even though I'm old enough to be his grandfather, he said, "Bob, do you know I'm keeping a journal? I'm keeping a journal, and I write in my journal every day. And I want to let you know that I can't put on any single page the blessings of the day that I've just had. I have so many blessings that I can't put them on a single page." Every day, he said, every day. And I thought to myself, isn't that wonderful? That he has so many blessings that he can't put them on one page in his journal. And sometimes we go about complaining. But you know, we have so much for which to be thankful. And it's a good idea to keep a journal and to remember those things. And even after we'd had lunch together, he went down the elevator, and I wondered what happened to the elevator. It didn't come back for a long time. And when it came back, there was a man on the elevator and said, "Your friend has had an accident." And I went downstairs and found out that his wheelchair had fallen. He had fallen backwards, getting out of the wheelchair, and hit his head on the terrazzo floor. And he was still cheerful, even though he was a little stunned. I would ask you to pray for my friend John Trey, who lives alone and really is a wonderful Christian. I'm going to bring him here sometime, but I didn't intend to tell you all of this. I would tell you as well, last evening I was with my grandson, and my grandson said to me, "Grandpa, are you as excited as I am about Christmas?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Jamie, whether I'm that excited or not." He said, "I don't really think I'll be able to sleep tomorrow night." I said, "Well, I think I will be able to sleep tomorrow night, all right. If I don't have too many children or too many grandchildren around me that are going to try to keep me awake or get me up early in the morning." He said, "Well, I, I can hardly wait, for Christmas. Wonderful to be children. So we're all children tonight, and I'm just going to tell you a story. And the story is an interesting story because it's of a family, a Christian family, where they have three children. And there are two sisters, and their names are Amy and Sarah. And there's a boy, and his name is Tommy. And they have a mother and a father, so they have a pretty standard family. And they live in a nice house where they have two floors, and the children and parents live upstairs, and they have their living room, dining room, kitchen, and family room downstairs. And this family was getting ready for Christmas. And in their getting ready for Christmas, they decorate their house. And I think that most of you can identify with what I've said so far. Because we do decorate our houses, or decorate our rooms, or decorate whatever we have to make it seem more festive, to make it seem more like Christmas. And we're always delighted to have the decorations around. And so in their house, they had a Christmas tree. They had decorated the Christmas tree 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And they had decorated the front windows, and they had poinsettia, and they had a manger scene where the Lord Jesus was in a little basket in a manger. And there were shepherds, and there were wise men, and there was Mary, and there was Joseph, and several sheep around in this manger scene. And everything was ready, and now they were getting ready with presents under the tree. And the family plan was that in the evening, on Christmas Eve, the children would bring their gifts and put them under the tree for Mom and Dad and for each other and for anyone else that they had. And the tree was beginning to look as though there was a crowd underneath there of parcels. And all of these parcels were different shapes and looked so interesting that the children, Amy and Sarah and Tommy, could hardly wait. And then they went upstairs to bed. And when they went to bed, Santa Claus, or, well, whatever, Mummy, Daddy, came and put parcels under the tree. And they put the parcels that were going to be the big surprise on Christmas morning. So there were a lot of surprises. And they could hardly, when they went up to sleep, they found themselves not able to sleep. And Tommy was particularly anxious because he wanted a pair of skates in the morning and hoped that they would be there underneath the tree. And Tommy was trying to get to sleep, and he couldn't get to sleep. And finally, he went off to sleep. And when he went off to sleep, he had a dream. And his dream was strange. His dream was really a terrible dream, because he dreamt that he was going down the stairs on Christmas morning, and when he was going down the stairs bright and early in the morning, there wasn't any decoration, there weren't any lights, and normally Mom and Dad kept lights on all night on Christmas Eve so that the children would know how to get downstairs, but there weren't any lights downstairs. And the closer he got, he realized that there wasn't any sign of Christmas. And he went into the living room and turned lights on, and there wasn't a tree. In his dream, there wasn't a tree. And there weren't any decorations. And there wasn't a manger scene. And he wondered where they had gone. He went over to the piano, and there wasn't a carol book. And when he looked for the Bible that sat on the dining room table that they always read on Christmas morning, he looked at the Bible, and there was a Bible nearby. And as he looked at that Bible, the Bible only had an Old Testament that concluded at the book of Malachi. There wasn't any Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There wasn't any New Testament at all. Nothing. He said, there isn't any Christmas. There isn't any Christmas. And so he kept wondering what to do, and he decided that maybe he had better go and look in the kitchen. And he looked in the kitchen, there wasn't a calendar on the wall. And that seemed very strange to him. So he decided that he would get his clothes on, get his coat on, and he would go outside, and he would see, what is there outside? There must be some things outside that would tell us there's Christmas. And so when he went outside, he saw the church down the street. But there wasn't a church down the street. He looked for it. And over on the next block, there was a hospital. But there wasn't a hospital. The hospital wasn't there. And he wondered about the mission down the street that attended to the people who were poor and cold and needy and needed food at Christmas time. But the mission wasn't even there. So he began to walk around, and he found out that not only was the mission not there, but his school wasn't there. And he wondered, what really has happened? There isn't anything. There isn't anything that tells me there's Christmas. And so he was wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean? And he was crying. And he was saying, no Christmas. That means that I don't have any forgiveness. And I don't have any hope that things are going to be better. And what will happen if I die? I don't know whether there will be a heaven. Whether there will be any hope at all. And just as he was almost crying in his dream, in his sleep, his mother was singing. And she was singing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And Tommy woke up and heard his mother singing. And mother wondered why he had been asleep so long. But he was so long getting to sleep that he slipped through the time that he would normally wake up. And when he woke up, he realized it was a dream. It was a dream that there was no Christmas. And he went downstairs. And sure enough, there were lights. There was the tree. There were all of the decorations in the house. There was the manger scene. Everything was there just as they had been prepared for. And underneath the tree, there were gifts. And there were all kinds of good things. All of the surprises. And he found out, too, that the church was still there. And the hospital was there. And the school was there. And the mission was there. And he said, oh, Mommy, I had a terrible dream. I dreamt that there was no Christmas, that Jesus really hadn't ever come, that he didn't come to this world. And my dream told me that there wasn't even a calendar. And Mommy went on saying to him, oh, Tommy, that was a bad dream to have on Christmas Eve. What a terrible dream for you to have. But do you know, Tommy, the Lord Jesus did come. And this is Christmas, and we are celebrating the fact that the Lord Jesus came into the world. And you know, Tommy, not only are those things a celebration of his presence and tell us that he came into the world because we have a tree and decorations and we have a calendar and we have a Bible that's complete and we have a carol book and we have all of these things, but we have our church and we have our school, we have our mission, we have our hospitals. All of these things, but Tommy, we have even more than that. Do you know we have forgiveness of our sins because Jesus came? Because Jesus came, we are told that we are forgiven our sins and we know God. We know what God is like. And if Jesus hadn't come, we would never know what God was like. Because when we see Jesus, we see God. Jesus said, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. And all of the promises that God gave to us are real and true. We can know that he kept his promises, and we can realize that we have hope, and we aren't with sin anymore, because the Lord Jesus came to take away our sin. And Mother read the Bible with Daddy and Amy and Sarah and Tommy, and they read the Bible where it said, the angel said to the shepherds in the field, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then a glorious host of angels began to sing with them, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as they read this scripture, they were so happy to know that Jesus had really come. He really came into the world. And he came that he might take our sin and die for us, and that he might make us to be new people and give to us heaven and give to us a hope even beyond this life, and help us to realize that even with all of the difficult, hard things we have in life, even with sickness and sorrow and tragedy and accidents and death, that the Lord Jesus said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And all of these things are going to work together for your good. I will be with you. And I know what is happening to you. And I love you. And I care for you. And Tommy said, oh, Mommy, I'm so glad that Jesus really did come. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that he came? The rest of the world needs to know that Jesus came, even as it was promised that he would come. And he came to save us from our sins. And this is the simple message. Oh, what a dream it would be, what a nightmare it would be to think that Jesus Christ didn't come, that there wasn't a celebration, that there wasn't any indication of his coming. How dark, how gloomy would be this world without any hope, without any sense of joy, without any celebration, without any heaven. Dear friends, Jesus Christ makes the difference. And the reason for the season is the birth of our Lord Jesus. And we can say, glory to God in the highest. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he is the one that we celebrate. It is his birthday that we celebrate. And if he was to be here today, we would sing, happy birthday. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. And if he was to speak to us and say to us, there is one thing that I would like for you to give to me, that one thing that he wants for us to give to him, the one thing better than any present under any tree, better than any amount of money that we could find, better than any house that we could give him, better than any car that we could give him, better than any present that will ever be given tomorrow. The best thing we can give to the Lord Jesus, and the only thing that he wants from us, is our hearts. Give me your heart. And we can say to him, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. You have my heart and my life. And this is what he wants from all of us. Little boys and little girls and young people and men and women and grandparents, all of us, the best gift we can give at Christmas is to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and to give to him our hearts afresh and saying, oh, Lord Jesus, may this be a glorious birthday for you because I give to you my heart afresh and thank you for coming to live with me. And may God bless you and cause this wonderful Christmas to be the best Christmas you've ever had. And we earnestly pray that the Lord Jesus will be central in your home and in your family, that we'll think of him tomorrow. And I'm going to ask that we pray together and that we pray for people who have special needs and the world around us who doesn't really know the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we do thank you that Jesus came into the world. We thank you that Tommy's nightmare was not true, that even as we think about what this world would have been if Jesus hadn't come, without the institutions that were established because he came, without the church, without our homes, without our families, without so many things, but Lord, without forgiveness and without eternal life, without hope and without God in the world, what a tragedy it would be. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus, not only that these places that we've been speaking about, schools and hospitals and missions and missionaries and all of these things would be brought into our world, but that you'd give to us the forgiveness of our sins, that you'd give to us joy in our hearts, that you'd give to us eternal life, and may we know that heaven is our home because Jesus came into the world. And we pray that each of us who are here tonight would give our hearts afresh to him. And if there are those who haven't given their hearts to him, oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them to yourself tonight, that this Christmas Eve in the year 2001 would be the time that they would invite Jesus into their hearts and give their hearts to him, the most precious possession, the greatest gift that we could possibly give. And we know that it will be received, and we will be the joyous ones to celebrate. We pray for the families, our Father, that are come beside and grant his presence to be known to them. We pray for those who are sick, those who are in hospital. Lord, we commend them to you. We think of other nations of the world, places where they don't know anything about the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help our missionaries and help us that we may see the message that Jesus came into the world being spread to everyone in the world, to boys and girls and young people, men and women all over the world. Bless them, we pray. And may that day come very soon when everyone would hear and the Lord Jesus would come back again. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. And we ask that even as we come to the close of the evening, with joy in our hearts, to celebrate Christmas, that we would be glad in doing it, that we would be happy in doing it, and that the Lord Jesus would be happy with us too. And we will give to you our thanks in his name. Amen. God bless you. And we're going to sing again. And may the Lord cause his grace to be yours at this Christmas.
Pastor, I think we have enough time to deviate from the program a little bit, and I think if the instrumentalist will play, "Oh, Come, Let Us Adore Him," I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand up. We have a lot of visitors with us this evening. Mix and mingle and give each other your greetings for a few minutes, and then we'll sing the closing carol. Let's stand as we do that. Turn in your hymn books to 253, the most beautiful carol of all, Silent Night, Holy Night. and the last stanza.
Just one little note for our family. If you are able on Wednesday evening, we are having prayer meeting, Bible study, and going to have a very interesting study, but I just suggest that to let you know we're going to be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Have a very Merry Christmas, and let us close with a word of prayer together. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the grace and the peace and the joy of our Lord Jesus, the communion and the fellowship and the comfort of God the Holy Spirit be with you tonight and even forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.